We need to believe that Jesus is our leader and we are the followers. We need to believe that. It is a very simple fact that Jesus is our leader and that we are the followers. John chapter 1, verse 35 through 42 reads, "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed him. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him, and it was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah,' that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,' which when translated is Peter." I love this little unit of scripture. It's very simple, and sometimes I think we can actually make it more complex than what it is. You see, we have this picture that unfolds in the Gospel of John. It starts off, and many of us are familiar with this. Sometimes we reference it as the prologue. And what a rich text it is. "In the beginning was the Word." The gospel writer attempts to start off and remind us that Jesus is God. He was with the Father in the beginning. And then he takes us on this journey and lands on verse 14 in chapter 1. And he moves us through this argument that says, "And the Word," who is God, "became flesh and did what?" You say it, you know it. What? "He dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us." God became flesh and he dwelt among us. Then we move into this episode where we see this guy by the name of John the Baptist, and he was a little on the crazy side, or so it seems, right? And he was out in the wilderness, out in the desert. And you know what John the Baptist's job was? What was it? It was to point to Jesus. He was the one that told about the coming of the Messiah. And John the Baptist was very clear, saying, "Hey, it's not me. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals," he said. "The guy you need to be looking for is a man named Jesus." He identifies Jesus, John the Baptist does, is by saying, "Behold the Lamb of God that does what?" Say it with me. "Takes away the sins of the world." And then we have our text. And I want you to look at it. Just look at a few points as we walk through this. It says, "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples." So this is John the Baptist, and he is there with his disciples. John had a bunch of disciples that had been following him. Why? Because there was a group of people that was anticipating the coming of the Messiah. And John was always quick to point the finger and say, "Hey, it's not me. He is coming." Listen to what it says here. It says, "The next day, John was there with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.'" He repeats what had occurred in chapter 1, verse 29. He says it again, because the Baptist is always pointing to Jesus. You know why he's always pointing to Jesus? He's pointing to Jesus because of this. Jesus is the leader, and we are the followers. Jesus is the leader, and we are the followers. Do you see that in the text? Look at what it says. It says, "When the two disciples heard him," this is John again, "say this, they followed Jesus." He was the one that they were looking for. He was the one that John had been talking about. He was the promised one of Israel. Jesus is the leader, and the disciples are the followers. Look what else happens in the text. Jesus knows this. He knows they're there. Turning around, Jesus saw them following, this verse 38, and said, "What is it that you want?" Some of your English versions use a particular phrase there. "What is it that you seek?" They said, "Rabbi," very common word, as you know, which means teacher. "Where are you staying?" And you notice what Jesus says. He says, "Come. You will see." So they went there with Jesus where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour, which is about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I have fond memories of going out into the workshop when I was a kid with my grandfather. Grand memories of that. He had all of these tools out in his garage, and he knew how to use them. Now, when I walked out into the garage with my grandfather, he knew how to use the tools. He was the master, and I was the student. Man, I would watch him work. I would watch him use those tools strategically, and there was no question of who he was and who I was. He was the expert. He was the teacher. He was the master, and I was the student and the pupil. Friends, follow through this text, because John is wanting us to see something very clearly. If you want to live that kind of sold out life that is all in as a disciple, it starts with a very basic fundamental fact. We need to believe and tell ourselves over and over and over again that Jesus is up here and we're right here. He is up here and we are down here. When you keep it in that order, it's amazing how everything in life sometimes begins to fall in place. Jesus is up here. He's the leader, and we are the followers. Look what else the text says. Jump in at verse 40. I love this. It says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two, heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him. You know what you do when you're an excited disciple and something new is there? Guess what you do? You tell others about Jesus. It's that simple. Any of you have something that is exciting in your life? What is the very first thing that you do when something exciting happens? What do? You tell somebody. I love this picture. They get so caught up in this moment. Look at this. This is hilarious to me. It says, the first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him. Notice his words. What does the text say? It says, we have found the Messiah. I'm going to let that one sink in for a minute. That's a bunch of hooey. They hadn't found anybody. What had John done? John the Baptist had done what? He pointed him out and said, no, this is Jesus. This is the Messiah. And they're out there going, yeah, we found him. Woohoo, we found him. It's kind of an interesting walk of faith, isn't it, for you and me? The further we go in our faith, we think we found him. And you know what the reality is? He found us. Amen? Amen. They're pointing out, and I love this, has an encounter with Jesus. Look at verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him, and this is Peter, and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which, when translated, is Peter. Here's the reality. When you have an encounter with Jesus, you are redefined in your identity. But you know where it all begins? It all begins by remembering and believing that Jesus is the leader and that we are the followers. Amen for that? Amen. Look what happens in this next unit of Scripture. It's the same thing. It's repeated again. John chapter 1, verse 43 through 51. It says, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael said. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael said. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said, you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that. He then added, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Well, this text is rich, but one of the major thrusts of the text, it's showing us again that Jesus is the leader and that everyone else, they are the followers. It's an amazing thing in this text because have you noticed as we have read through these two particular units, have you noticed how many different descriptions there are of Jesus? Have you noticed that? He's identified as Rabbi, which means teacher. His name, Jesus. He's referenced as the Messiah. He is referenced as the Son of God. Joseph, the son of Joseph, the King of Israel. All of these phrases are used because John, the gospel writer, is desiring us to see that if you are a disciple, foundational fact number one is to realize who he is. And when you know who he is, friends, you know who you are. Let's say it again. He's here. And we are what? Here. He is the leader. And we are the followers. Now, you may be a little bit like me, and I'm probably a little bit like you. I need to believe that over and over again in my life. And I'll tell you why. Because Mark Yarbrough frequently has places to go and things to do, people to see and business to take care of. Anybody join me in that one? We have our own plans. We have our own goals. We have our own mission. We have all this stuff that, and it may all be good. There's nothing wrong with that. I think the Lord wants us to be productive people for his cause. That's great. Ambition, healthy ambition, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what I need to remember that I have committed to years and years ago? He's here. And I'm here. This is who he is. And because of who he is, this means in all of my identity, in all of my priority, I need to remember that he is the leader and I am the, would you say it with me? I am the follower. Okay. Let me make a little bit of a shift here. I told you there's something that we need to believe, and that's it, that Jesus is the leader, that we're the followers. I also told you that there's something that we need to do. Now, before I tell you what that is, you may be wrestling with this passage, and you may be saying, you know, Mark, I'm here today, and I realize I'm not a disciple. I have never identified Jesus as my leader, and therefore, I'm not a follower. If that is who you are, friend, can I give you a word of encouragement? Today could be the day that you identify Jesus as your leader, and therefore it means you submit as a follower. If you have not made that decision or that profession, that issue of belief, I encourage you to do that today. Because guess what? When you believe that and you say, I believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, it means you are on that journey of discipleship. I encourage you to do that. Now, I also know that most of you in this room, when I begin to talk about this, you look back in your life and you say, years ago, I made a profession. I remember a time in my life where I committed, in this, even in this language, that Jesus is the leader and that I am the follower. Anybody remember that one? Yeah. I told you there's something we believe. There's something that we're supposed to do. And I want to phrase it this way, because it's so easy to forget. Remember that followers follow. Remember that followers follow. Would you look back at this text again? There's some intriguing language here, and I wish we had a lot of time to unpack it because it is rich. Look back, if you will, at verse 39 when we see this first encounter with the disciples that were John's disciples, and now they're following Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. Do you know what the opening words of Jesus are? Look at what he says. After he makes this issue of what is it that you seek, Jesus says what? He says, come. Come with me. It's a journey. You know what else he says? Look down, if you will, at the next powerful one, verse 43. Look at the language. Underline it in your Bible. The next day, verse 43, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip. Notice who does the finding there. It's Jesus. Finding Philip, he said to him, what? Follow me. You know what followers do? Followers follow. Followers follow. Look down at the very last encounter that we have with Nathanael. I want you to look at this one. This is funny. Verse 50, Jesus said, you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. They had to mess with him just a little bit, by the way. He walked up. Jesus told him, hey, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. And says, whoa, Jesus knows what's going on. You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You're going to see greater things than this. Here's the Mark Yarbrough paraphrased rendition of that. Jesus says, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. Friends, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ and you believe that he is the leader and that you are the follower, here's what we need to do. Remember that followers follow, and it is an ongoing journey. What does this look like for you and for me? What does it look like for you and for me? It means that we need to tell ourselves over and over again that followers follow. If we've made this commitment of who Jesus is and therefore who we are, we need to remind ourselves that followers, disciples, follow him. And it's an ongoing, everyday, every moment process. Okay, I'm going to say something that it's not going to sound real brilliant, okay? I do that frequently, as a matter of fact. It's a gift. I want you to think about this. Tomorrow, you will be in a moment that you've never been in before. Ever. We're all going to leave here. You're going to go home. I don't know what you're going to do this afternoon. And tomorrow morning, you're going to get up. And you're going to have an opportunity at that moment that you've never had before. Ever. That hour, that minute, that situation, that moment, you and me, if we are disciples of Jesus Christ, at that moment, we have an opportunity, at that moment of which we've never been at before, we have a moment to follow him. So, here's what it means. Let me talk to the kids for just a minute. If you are under a certain age and you're at school, here's what it means. It means tomorrow something's going to happen somewhere, some situation. Somebody's going to say something. Maybe it's a gossip issue. Maybe it's a story issue. I don't know what it is. But at that moment, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity that you will never have again. At that moment, it is to be a disciple of Jesus, because followers do what? What do they do? Talk to me. They follow. Moms and dads, we've got lots of moms and dads that have lots of kids in this place right here. You know what it means? It means every opportunity that we have, we're going to have new ones over and over and over again. Jennifer and I used to laugh about this all the time. When our kids were little, there were moments that we thought we just kind of, about the time we started mastering how to be that kind of a parent with kids that age, guess what would happen? They grow up, and we found ourselves in another situation. And we're looking back going, well, we haven't been here before. You know what's going on at the Yarbrough household right now? Four teenagers. We have four teenagers at our house, and we're having the time of our life. It's busy, it's crazy, but I'm here to tell you, I've not been there before. I don't know what it's like. Some of you do, but I don't. You know what it means for me? As a believer in Jesus Christ, a disciple, it means I have a brand new opportunity to do what? Follow Him. Okay, maybe you're in an older group. Maybe you're retired. Maybe you're a grandparent. Guess what? You've not been there before. Do you see where this is going? Shake your head yes, please. You've not been there before. You don't know how to do it. There's going to be a new opportunity. If you are retired, let me give you a word of encouragement. Biblically, there is nothing that we call retirement. There's nothing wrong with retiring from a job. But let me tell you, friends, you do not retire from being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why? Because followers follow. Wherever you are in your situation, be all in. All in. A Bible-believing, faith-walking, totally committed, all-in Jesus freak. That's what we're called to be. Back after our big giant rainstorm, we took Joseph home. I tucked him in at night. It was a great thing. Probably held him just a little bit harder. A little kiss on the forehead. I said, Joseph, come on. Were you just a little bit afraid? He says, well, a little bit. But not much. I just told them, Daddy. I told them you'd come, and I was with you. And I knew my number right here. I hugged him, kissed him, closed his door, walked out, walked through the kitchen, and our phone machine was blinking. I pressed that button, and it said, Mr. Yabo, I'm with security at Celebrate Freedom. I have a little guy here named Joseph, says he belongs to you. I just smiled. Friends, if we believe that He is the leader and we are the followers, there's something we must do. Why? Because followers follow. If we do that, we are on our journey toward being and living like a Bible-believing, faith-walking, totally committed, all-in Jesus freak. And that's the kind of disciple that this world needs to see. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be like those disciples that were all-in. They weren't perfect, but they knew who You were. And when they realized that, they knew who they were. They followed You. Help us to do that this week with new situations that will come our way. May we find ourselves committed to You. Help us to be all in Jesus' name.